Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 665. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, it has been a day of many of driving for yours truly. But we're still back in the barn at the time to record this this here wrestling podcast. So here we go. Roman Reigns continues to chew up scenery in very generous portions on Friday Night SmackDown, and not only was he at the beginning of this one, he was also at the end of this show too, as he has been many a weeks. What was your general overall feelings with this week's goings on with Mr. Reigns?
Not all, just continuing, good stuff with Roman Reigns. Everything's in a bit of a holding pattern, but we're getting some storyline advancement with Roman Reigns and the Usos. Now we're mingling the Mysterio family into it. All good stuff. Pretty basic storytelling. They got two matches out of the Usos and the Mysterios to fill time.
Yeah, I mean, neither of them was crazy long, so they did did not overkill with the in-ring time.
Right. No.
But yeah, there are parts of me that was thinking that Roman Reigns might get cheered when they go back to having crowds. I think he's doing a really good job of just being a jerk who should get booed when there are crowds around. And I think that attacking Rey and Dominic Mysterio mercilessly will kind of give him a little bit extra traction in that department too.
Yeah, it definitely does. Yeah. Ray's beloved. Dominic. Ray's beloved, though. And no, it's good use of Roman Reigns. Good use of everybody. Rey Mysterio is a good opponent for Roman Reigns to have. I'd be interested to see what direction they go with it, or how, if they can drag it out past Hell in a Cell to get the Roman Reigns Rey Mysterio match to Money in the Bank in front of a crowd. That's how I would do it. Otherwise, I don't know what exactly you do to Hell in a Cell unless you try to run that match twice, which I guess you could do. Otherwise, I do it for the first time in front of a crowd, though.
I've got to imagine they're pretty tempted to hold off a lot of things until in front of a crowd. And, I mean, just storylines in general, especially at that echelon of the card, they've tended to last a few months in recent memory. So I would not be shocked to see that last until Money in the Bank. Plus, it's still another match that it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a Hell in a Cell. Like, they haven't gotten to that level of animosity to just throw them into a Cell match.
No, they definitely have that. Now, someone did bring up the saying, Roman Reigns telling Jimmy Uso, you just stand in the corner and the watch, and Roman and Jay challenge Ray and Dominic for the tag team championships.
Oh.
You could do something like that, and you could, of course, have Jay take the pin and, obviously continue to disappoint Roman Reigns and, have Ray get one over on Roman without actually beating him. And so that's probably would be the best way to do it.
Oh.
If they feel like they need to have Roman Reigns wrestling on this complete throwaway pay-per-view.
Yeah, I mean, and I do imagine he's going to be there in some capacity. So that type of matchup seems like a pretty logical one. You know, he can pick either brother to kind of prove something, you know. It's either Jay disappoints him or, you know, he picks Jimmy so that he can prove that he's really helping to provide for the family or some such shenanigans and talk him into the crew that way. So yeah, they have some good options with that with that storyline. Sometimes yeah, there's a little negativity in these parts sometimes. So I think breaking down one of the better storylines is kind of nice. Oh, but yeah, I mean this one's it's been really enjoyable and it's really made SmackDown quite fun to watch. In the meantime, I'm trying to think of what else did end up happening here, and I do want to figure out who Seth Rollins is using to buy his suits from. Because those things are outrageous, and I love it. So, what did you think about his segment this week?
It was fine. Didn't really do anything in particular, say anything in particular. It was fine. It did its job. But I assume we're going to see Cesaro sooner than later.
Yeah, I'm not going to answer story responses are always to me a little extra annoying. Because just like, well, then why did you agree to a sit-down interview then? Like, I know the WWE loves to do it, but it's just like, it's like this just still doesn't make any logical sense that you'd even sit down to do it just to walk away because you had to know that those questions would be coming your way. So, yeah. But he's such a slime ball these days that I'm really enjoying the gimmick. So I kind of let that slide a little bit. Well, hey, we do know Liv Morgan has had TV time now, post Riot Squad. But she still lost.
Oh yeah, she lost. She definitely lost, and they are doing a Carmella is the sex bot of the WWE SmackDown Women's Division gimmick essentially, which, you know, if there's someone they're gonna do it with, I guess over on SmackDown, she'd be the one to do it with. You know, it's a weird. I mean, SmackDown is now, what is it? SmackDown now down to like seven active performers with the release of Ruby Riot or something crazy like that.
Oh, I haven't looked at the WWE page in quite some time, but I guess I'm fascinated. This is click worthy as the show moves along here to check how many women they have listed for the SmackDown roster.
I guess you have to push Carmella as a heel in the division and give her some wins. But she's already lost so many times to Bianca and Sasha. It's just like, it's hard also it'll be hard to heat her up to that level. I mean, I guess they don't have to worry about that because they got at least one more pay-per-view out of Bayley. Sasha's already advertised for the shows in July. So you'll have all that going on. But yeah, no, it's, you know, what they're doing, you know, they just won't, that for whatever reason, they just won't push Liv Morgan. It is befuddling. You would think that she is everything that they want, but it's she keeps bucking her head on that proverbial glass ceiling, and it's not even that high. It's just she gets nothing. I mean, the Riot Squad never won the Women's Tag Team Championships.
That's crazy. A championship that was tailor made for them, and they never won it. Like,
no, they should have beaten Sasha and Bayley, and we never did any of this Nia and Shayna crap. I mean, that's not what we did. That's not what happened. And you know, now Ruby Riott's gone, and Liv Morgan's tapping out to Carmella, and I don't know if there's just nowhere, just nothing really for Liv Morgan to do in this setup of WWE right now.
There are a total of 7 women on SmackDown. They count Tamina and Natalya as SmackDown.
They always have been SmackDown, so or since the last draft, so yeah.
They've been SmackDown.
So they are SmackDown even if they're not tag team champions. Okay.
A total of 7. It's those two, Sasha, Bailey, and I laughed that they had Maryse listed. Liv Morgan, Carmella, Bianca, and Bailey.
Yeah, you said Bailey twice, but yes.
Oh, my bad. So, yeah, that's... You're just not working with enough to make a division at that point.
No, you're not. No, there has to be some call-ups. I'd venture to say that Becky Lynch should go to SmackDown at that point.
Oh, yes. It's your most watched show. She needs to go there.
Yeah, although it's not like it needs... Well, let's say it's not like it needs the star power with Bianca, Bailey, and Sasha. But eventually you have to move on from that.
Oh.
That triumvirate. So it's... I would like to see Becky on the blue brand. When she returns,
which I presume will
be fairly immediate into WWE's, you know, first weekend of shows back.
She certainly seems to be in shape enough to be active in a professional wrestling ring. Whether she chooses to or not is obviously up to her. But I don't even think she can solve the problems on the Raw women's division side. Like, it would break up some staleness over there too. But I like all of the matchups better on SmackDown, I guess, with her.
Yeah.
And they all seem fresher, too. Because, did Lynch and Bayley fight that much?
No, they really have not. I think they had one match in NXT that I kind of vaguely remember. One match, I think. One or two kind of throwaway matches on Raw or SmackDown.
Yeah.
That landed quickly on like a disqualification or something, or run-ins or what have you. There was the Survivor Series Triple Threat with Shayna Baszler the year before. No.
Yeah, so...
Becky Bailey's pretty fresh.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I agree with you. I know that there has been some matchups in between then and now, but like that's one that it's kind of weird that I don't feel like there's been like a major feud for them, especially in the recent past. So that would definitely be, and obviously Becky and Bianca would be a fresh matchup. And even, I mean, you could really, if you want to have her work the way her way up the ladder, you could always have her go against Carmella before getting to these ladies. But
yeah, I think Becky getting a title shot is going to be fairly immediate. You know, SummerSlam immediate. You know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think she gets to bypass the Carmella feud when she comes back. So, but yeah, she would be a great fit on there. But like we're both kind of agreeing on here that the women's division just needs more bodies.
Yeah, it does, and Raw could use some refreshing of bodies. Yeah,
because I guess I wonder that now that we're on that topic, I'm wondering what the body count is here. Oh, because they are counting Becky Lynch as Raw, at least roster wise.
Yeah. I guess one thing they did on Raw was they may have stumbled into Asuka and Nikki Cross being the saviors of the women's tag team division.
Yeah, that is... I want to say here... Okay, so it's 11, I believe. 11 women on Raw. Which is a little more to work with because they're counting Baszler and Jax as Raw.
Yeah, Baszler and Jax should be Raw from what I remember.
Yeah,
as long as Lana's off the list and you're not counting Becky, yes.
It might be 10 without Becky, but also not to be really counted, which might make it. Yeah, I think it might actually be 9. Lacey Evans still on the list also.
Oh, yeah, no, you cannot count Lacey Evans either. No, she's not active currently. No.
Yeah, she is out the picture for quite some time.
Yeah.
So, but 9 is still better than 7. But one of the problems is still we did get a little bit of action out of Alexa Bliss this week, but in-ring capabilities still befuddling to me. They have the WWE has let her in the ring just not a lot, and mostly in tag team action in a few years now. And it's just one of those things for a performer that I never had a problem with in the ring and thought she was pretty good. I always thought the right hand thing was a little weird considering her size, but, you know, have at it. It's wrestling. Yeah, like, she has been in the ring just precious little, and even now, like, in this build-up to her being in the women's division in some capacity, like, I guess I honestly expected her to interact more with someone before this juncture, and I mean, she attacked Shayna Baszler this week, but it was still a very limited interaction. You know, like, I guess I still wonder if the WWE thinks that there's some lingering problems with her or something.
It's possible. It's definitely very possible. It's been a strange few years for her, without a doubt. But yeah, no, they definitely, but they're at least going to do something with her and Shayna Baszler going forward, obviously. Now that could mean a cinematic match, you know, in Hell in a Cell doing... Getting one more of those out of their system, which once again, that's not Alexa Bliss going in, being in the ring, you know, taking normal bumps. So that's once again, the jury's out on what Alexa Bliss can even do anymore. It's a just strange situation. I mean, she had those couple of matches with Asuka at the beginning of the year, and she was in the Royal Rumble. But beyond that, we really haven't seen anything from her since, and there wasn't really anything from her before that. And before that was a year of tag team wrestling. Yeah, no, it's a weird situation.
Yeah. So, and I guess I did a little recount here. It is officially 11 without Lacey Evans and Becky Lynch.
Okay.
So, that's, you know, that is a somewhat decent total to work with, which is, I guess, kind of more of a mystery of why that women's division is such a mess, because it should be better since they have really enough people to have ongoing feuds with a number of ladies involved.
Yeah, and this week they didn't even put, you know, with no one really else really to wrestle, they did not put Mandy and Dana on the show. And they did, nor did they have Natty and Tamina on Raw this week. And then after that, yeah, I don't know what you do. Because there's definitely no teams on SmackDown. There's no one who would team on SmackDown. Out of that seven at this point.
Yeah. And I guess that is a good point that you brought up, that that I kind of tangented off in a different direction. But Asuka and Nikki Cross. It would be a great idea for the women's tag team division. Like, they never seem to be completely comfortable with Asuka as, like, champion. And having her be in the women's tag team division might be a good place for her, at least within the confines of the WWE main roster situation. So what did you like about their pairing?
Yeah, they just seem like they gelled pretty well. They can both do, you know, they're both high energy. It just something about it just worked for me, and I think a number of people agreed. It's just something, you know, it's something for them both to do. You know, Asuka's obviously been moved out of the main women's singles. It's amazing that you said that they don't often see her as the champion when she's been that for. for pretty much close to a year.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. I'm still going to argue that she won at Money in the Bank. Oh, yeah, because then Becky gave her the belt because she won that. But A, they called her illegitimate to start because that's the way it went down. And then after, how many months did she have the championship and not fight anyone during that year? Like, especially at the end, like the last few months of her title reign, like she was barely on TV because they were trying to push the Charlotte and Lacey Evans stuff.
Yeah, no. No, you're right. I was kind of ironically agreeing with you, I guess.
Oh, gotcha.
That she was champion that whole time, but, you know, not focused, not on TV a lot, had no feuds, you know, multiple pay-per-views she wasn't even on. Yeah. But no, that's very true.
Yeah.
So no, her as a tag team, they, you know, seems like she does well in tag team situations. Obviously, Nikki Cross does. I don't think I ever seen Nikki Cross being women's champion on her own. So,
oh,
this is tag team championship is pretty much the highest she's gonna get. So might as well run with it. Otherwise, I guess the option would be Natty and Tamina eventually lose it to Mandy and Dana. You know. And then Mandy and Dana have no one to wrestle. But then eventually Asuka And Nikki Cross will have no one to wrestle.
Yeah, 11 people, 11 bodies is enough for a singles division, but to mostly be supporting the tag team division is not quite enough.
Yeah.
But I guess we do have, speaking, there is a 12th woman. When I was scanning through the Raw review that I kind of forgot about, they officially mentioned that Eva Marie making her debut this coming week.
From what I've read, it doesn't sound like they expect her to wrestle. It sounds like she's going to end up managing someone. And hopefully that will it'll be someone new. So we'll see where that goes. I have no expectations for how Eva Marie's return is going to go.
Yeah, it's one of those things that she wasn't really around long enough to get a great vibe. You know, at least on an in-ring kind of a situation. She, you know, obviously, like, I watched Total Divas the first couple of 2 to 3 seasons, I want to say. Maybe I made it to the fourth. But, I mean, I've got to admit, I saw most of the time with her on it. So, I'm kind of familiar with her, but I don't really remember her, like, you know, wrestling work one way or the other. Like, it probably wasn't good, but I wasn't expecting much out of her at that time either.
No, I mean, and you know what? She was actually, if you count the first time they brought her on Total Divas and around TV, then through them sending her to NXT to actually learn how to work, to the attempt at getting her back on TV that resulted in her release, whether it was voluntarily asked for or not. They did one match with her, I mentioned before, on NXT with Bayley, where they just played it up so badly that, you know, Eva Marie could win this, and it would be the worst thing ever. Like, because it's the time, I believe, Eva Marie had Nia Jax in her corner, so it was like stacking the deck against Bayley.
Oh.
And it just, that Full Sail crowd of that era, just being like, a gasp the whole time. Fully expecting Eva Marie to win the match, but she didn't, so that's pretty much the peak of Eva Marie's wrestling career right there. I know there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. But they're bringing her back for some reason. And I don't have any expectations. I don't know. I've read that there's a possibility that she's not going to wrestle at all, which is fine enough by me. So we'll see what they do with her.
She definitely looks more like a wrestler now. Like, it to me, it appears she has added muscle weight between her last run, but that does not always transfer into athletic ability. But yeah, I guess I'd be cool with her not wrestling, because yeah, there are just some people you're like, oh, they'll get a hold of this, like, not a problem, like, it's just a matter of getting reps in. Like, I don't feel like she ever gave me that vibe, even though I know she's she's had some pretty good training with, what's his name?
Brian Kendrick,
yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, hopefully they learn their lesson about some of these women. Like, AEW needs to sign Lana, put her with Miro, and never have her wrestle.
Oh, yeah. If she has that dream still of being good at wrestling, she needs to stop. is I feel like she's improved, but she hasn't improved to the point that women's wrestling is at on TV these days.
No. No, she's really not. She's... Yeah, there's some of the other women who aren't that good either, but I think she's a step below them as well, a step or two below them as well. It's... You know, they got something fun out of her with the whole Nia Jax deal, and, you know, they had her, you know, actually get a couple of wins out of it. It just... Yeah, but there's just not enough there.
Yeah. So Lana just being a valet for Miro would sit perfectly well with me. I don't need to see her in the ring again. I just don't. Because yeah, this is the best insult I guess I can think of with ranking in ring abilities. I think I'm going Dana Brooke over Lana.
I think so. Dana Brooke's certainly a more natural athlete.
Yeah,
if she is below most. As actually trying to put it all together into being a competent wrestler.
Yeah. She definitely still has some in ring deficiencies. Let's say so. Yeah, but I'm with you. You can tell with her that she at least was, because she was in the strong woman competitions, and did she do cheer or
gymnastics?
Definitely
gymnastics. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I knew it was something along those lines, so yeah, you can tell that training is in there. And Eva Marie never had anything like, well, Lana didn't have anything like that, and Eva Marie didn't have anything like that either, so. Well, I guess we ping-pong between there really wasn't a lot on SmackDown.
No, not a much.
You know, we got Kevin Owens and Apollo Crews kind of moving their storyline around a little bit.
I think they were transitioning back to Sami Zayn. So,
oh yeah,
I don't think that's going to continue. So I don't know where you go with Apollo now, and of course you've got Big E without a feud that he was going to have. So yeah.
And you got Shinsuke and Baron Corbin also just hanging out there.
Yeah, they're in the best of 900 series. Yeah, it's I love what they got. It's just. You know, they've got Nakamura back. They've got Boogs with him now. That entrance is going to kill in front of live crowds.
Oh.
But they just keep having Russell Corbin and still lose. Like this is the time that they'd be rebuilding Nakamura completely back to.
He actually seems a little more engaged than he has at other times.
No, he definitely does, yes.
So yeah, it does seem like prime time to have him start moving in the right direction, but that certainly has not been the case. So and yeah, because we just had the second tag team match, Rollins covered. Yeah, I mean, I guess there was the Bianca Belair and Bayley segment, but that was another one where they just kind of moved the storyline along. Like, they weren't really doing a whole lot.
No, there's not much to do there. They've got their story. You know, their matches are really good against each other, so no, it's fine. You know, don't really need to do much there.
So... trying to think of anything. I guess the tag teams did kind of dominate Raw this week. in a way, because we had a tag team battle royal to start things off, and that ended up getting spun off into a few matches. And definitely seems like we've got a feud brewing between RK-Bro and the New Day.
Yeah, well, that's been going for quite some time, and no, it's fine, it's good. God help me. I'm actually enjoying the interplay between Orton and Riddle. The key thing actually makes me laugh. it's really childish and stupid, but it makes me laugh. But it's funny. To see Orton do stuff like that is funny.
Yeah. If it were any two other people trying to pull that off, it probably wouldn't work. But yeah, their personalities really, really help that one out a lot.
Yeah, I mean, we're once again, because we still got this one pay-per-view left in the Thunderdome. We're holding off on doing Orton and. We're doing RK-Bro versus Styles and Omos until, you know, we're back in front of the crowd. So we're getting the Viking Raiders challenging Styles and Omos in a match they're, for fairly certain not going to win. You know, that's just a time filler thing. As is it really RK-Bro on the New Day? Interesting to see where things go with MVP and Kofi. That was that may have been in some levels the highlight of Raw. That segment, because it kind of felt like it came out of nowhere. That just thinking that after last week, they just used Kofi as a plot device to get Drew back in contention again, and they weren't going to pick up anything with Kofi and the Hurt Business. But no, we're picking up, and we're going there with some hard digs from one MVP.
I'd agree with you. That interaction was outstanding. Honestly, like I think that's the only thing I tweeted about. Like, you could do just segments that have MVP in them. For Raw, and that would be great, because anything with Bobby Lashley is at least good. And then, playing off the real-life occurrence of him crying at Kofi Mania and using that as leverage in the wrestling storyline, yes, to argue from the other direction is just outstanding work. And Kofi has really, really been on his game from his end too. So yeah, it was a really great segment, and one of the few things worth tuning into Raw to watch.
Yeah.
So yeah, it will be interesting to see how that story ends up playing out, because I feel like he's not going to, he being MVP, I don't feel like he's going to be as pushy as he was with when they tried to get Cedric Alexander into the Hurt Business, where Aaron was beating him into it. Like, I feel like they're going to lay off Kofi a little bit more, but still pursue him in their own way, in their own time, without being overbearing. So, that one's going to be a fun one to keep an eye on. Well, I guess we didn't really talk about this part of the women's division. What did you think of the main event there with Shayna Baszler and Lily?
Oh, it's time to put a ball in all this. hocus pocus stuff. It really is. We kind of laughed our way through the Fiend Orton build heading to WrestleMania, even though we knew it's not good. But we just kind of accepted what it was. But this is just, it's the same stuff. Alexa Bliss came under the spell of the Fiend. I think it was like last August. Because it was the build of SummerSlam.
Okay.
We're going on a year of this stuff. And people pointed out, there's been no payoff. It's just the same. It's a lot of the same crap stuff. Every single week for nearly a year.
Yeah, and there's still no Bray Wyatt in sight.
Yeah, that's gonna be an interesting one. What exactly is going on with him? He's had one match in this calendar year so far. He's got to be on a pretty decent contract, and they're obviously trying to cut expensive contracts where they feel that the person with the wrestler isn't worth what they're being paid. that will be interesting going forward. I don't know what's going on with them. It's a very strange situation.
Yeah, because I mean that storyline came out of the blue, and you know, with Alexa Bliss turning on him and never really giving any reason, and because
she took over his whole character, his whole gimmick, his whole. Everything, and there's no payoff for that. There's no payoff for that. What are you going to do with Bray Wyatt and Alexa Bliss? And then it's just all the same kind of stuff. Oh my God, something fell from the ceiling. The perfectly executed pyroblast. Not actually anywhere near the person.
Well, yeah, and that a tech is setting that stuff off. Come on, man. It's not some hocus pocus bullshit. I expected worse from Shayna, I guess, in some ways. Like, I did think that she played into it pretty well.
Yeah, she's playing it up, which... You know what? That can only be good for her in raising her stock with the right people, because they like to see guys, people like Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard. They love their haha. They love the gaga in wrestling. Vince has no good track record of really pushing someone as a wrestling machine type, or in Shayna's case, the submission magician. It's just not his thing. It's not what this company's been built. So yeah. Shayna's showing that she's got some goofy range. You know what? It's not going to hurt her.
I'm with you. I really enjoyed her end of things. I was sitting there the whole time going, this is ridiculous, but. She really hammed it up, and I think you're right, where the right people backstage are going to enjoy that, even if someone who would rather see a Shayna Baszler in-ring match is out here grumbling somewhere.
It is what it is, they got five more weeks to get this out of their system.
Oh. Or just come to some type of goddamn conclusion, man. The whole lingering Alexa Bliss issue is just like, when she said that she had something for the women's division, like, I feel like that was 2 months ago now, and it's just like...
Yeah, it was the night after WrestleMania, so it's just short of 2 months. Literal 2 months, yes.
Oh my gosh, it's just like, I'm for dragging things out sometimes, but this is just like...
It's not going to be... She still hasn't had any kind of a match since January.
Yeah, it's not going to be groundbreaking, you know what I mean? Like, I like Alexa Bliss as a wrestler, but she's not going to turn into some like female Ricochet or something in the meantime that just blows me out of the water. Maybe I just should have gone with she's not going to turn into Io Shirai. Oh well. There we go.
Something like that.
That works better. Again, I'm gonna enjoy her work, but she's also not gonna knock my socks off no matter what they do with her. So that's the other reason why it's the whole situation's just weird. And whether there's gonna be a real physical manifestation of Lily is still I would wager to say it's still a real possibility, but we don't know for sure.
Alexa has had 20 matches since last year's WrestleMania. And part of that, she was the women's tag team champion, so she would have been on both shows during the time between WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Wow. That, considering
So that
how
means
much
that
they
so that
march
means
people out for matches, having 20 matches is less than a half per week. That's like a 40% chance you saw her match over the course of a year. Good God. That is not very many occasions, you know, yeah.
she would have had 8 matches since they did the original angle with Bray Wyatt.
Wow, man. Yeah, it's just impressive how little she has wrestled, and it's just a really, you know, kind of like the whole
And
Bray
that's how
Wyatt stuff.
and that's how it's eight and it's eight counting the deal with Randy Orton at Fastlane.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're
Because there's a referee. There was a three count. That's an official match in Alexa Bliss's last match. She pinned Randy Orton. So yeah, no. So no. So that's seven. That's 7 matches since August. Since last August.
Wow, man. Yeah, just gonna be kind of interesting to see what happens, I guess. Because yeah, it seemed like to me, like it's just like, oh, okay, great. Like we're gonna have someone else to interact with. With the women's division, and it's just, I guess at least she's finally focusing on Shayna Baszler, but it's still kind of a weird situation to say the least. I'm trying to think. This has been a lot about the ladies because, oh, I guess part of the tag team matchup thing, the one team that did get a segment with Omos and AJ Styles, Viking Raiders looking like some more fodder for Styles and Omos at Hell in a Cell here.
Yeah, that's all it's gonna be. The Viking Raiders haven't been pushed in a long time. I know they just got back together after an injury,
Yeah.
but yeah, no, this is it's definitely not their time in any way, shape, or form.
No, it is not. So, yeah, that situation just is what it is. Like it's moving things along, I guess. We're gonna evidently get a lot of matches out of Ricochet, Humberto Carrillo, and Sheamus. Especially now that there is a legitimate broken nose involved in the situation.
Yeah, no, that's it's all right, I guess. I just have never gotten into Humberto Carrillo at all, and Ricochet's just he just kind of lost and has been lost in the shuffle for a long time. Some of it maybe for maybe of his own fault. But yeah, it'll be fine. It'll be, you know, just watch Sheamus beat the crap out of two dudes. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I don't see Sheamus losing to either of them. At least at this juncture, if one of them somehow had a sustained push, I could see it happening. But neither of them. When you're coming into the feud as, hey, you guys are losers, it really kind of sets the table. What else was there? I mean, is there much to be said about Drew McIntyre and Bobby Lashley officially being in a cell match?
Not really. I mean, it was expected.
Yeah.
I guess it'll probably close the show unless something with Roman Reigns does. So, yeah, that's fine. Let's let Lashley beat Drew and move on. And they put that stipulation in there that's exactly what's going to happen. So, if Lashley wins, there's no reason to go back to Drew as champion. He had run his course. There's no great heel for him to face. Now, granted, I don't know if necessarily Bobby Lashley's big match maybe coming up is a classic baby face for him to wrestle if it is Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam, but
that match
has to happen. As long as they can get Brock in and out of the country, that match needs to happen.
considering that the Canada just opened up the border for the NHL. I think they might be able to get things open by the time SummerSlam rolls around.
Yeah.
For the WWE, we shall see. But I'm just gonna say that the possibilities are moving in that direction for the WWE to make it a real possibility. But yeah, I also agree with you that matchup needs to happen before Bobby Lashley's done being champion. So we'll see. Anything else to talk about WWE wise before we mosey on out of here?
No, I don't think so.
Okie doke. Well, hey, it's always a good week when we don't get any firings, I guess. So we don't need to worry about that. Did not drink a Beltan beer for this very show, but I had one earlier this evening at the in-laws' house. They had some extra random beers there, and the one that I picked was Red Hook Brewing Busta Lime IPA. One of the few times I'm going to say, don't buy this beer.
Oh, wow.
Not good. I mean, it's very limey, and I don't think that the hops mesh well with the lime.
I'm not a lime fan, so yeah. So it wouldn't be something I would ever purchase anyway.
Like, I do like some lime stuff. Like, one of my favorite sour beers from here in Columbus from Pretentious Barrel House is lime and cucumber. But it's a very light lime flavor. And it's extremely refreshing. But so I think you can use lime, right? But I just think that it was kind of a little too heavy on the lime. And like I said, like, it didn't really... You can pick hops that that complement that flavor, and I don't think they did, in my opinion. So, yeah. And that one, Red Hook, I believe, is more of a national brand because... Well, I'm not sure if it's a national brand or not. because it might have come in the beer box from for my brother-in-law. So I can't remember exactly where it is. So it's not an Ohio beer. So it's out there somewhere. Yeah, I'm sure there. I guess I wouldn't mind trying some of their other beers to see how they are. But that's the way we'll close with the Bell Time beer this week. Not too often that happens, but kind of hilarious that it's happened two shows in a row. Because the last show I did with Jeremy, I had a bubbly IPA, and it was not good either. So I'm on something of a bad run here on the podcast. So, yeah, I guess that's at DeFrango11. That's at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us just about anywhere, whether it's Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Yeah, a lot of the podcast locations. And have a good night, grandkids.
Later.